One of the elements of surviving life here on this earth in order to be able to enjoy a home in heaven with God, I believe, is patience. In fact, if we were to examine all of the little items that the New Testament teaches us that are necessary in our lives, I think that we'd find patience to be one of those things that maybe needs to be intermingled into almost every single thing that we do. It takes a lot of patience to deal with some of the things that we have to deal with. It helps if we have patience in dealing with people. It's very helpful if patience is in our repertoire whenever we're trying to be good students of God's Word. It's necessary that we be patient. Sometimes the Bible uses the term almost as an equivalent, long-suffering. When we are faced with the challenges and the trials that life brings on this earth, it's difficult to be a Christian. It's impossible to be a Christian without patience. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why James said what he did in James chapter 1, where he talks about trials and temptations. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting nothing." If I were to have to choose a small handful of Bible verses that are my absolute favorites, I think the reference that's posted on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18, would have to rank up there in the top two or three. It's one of my very favorite passages in all the Bible, and it's one that contains it contains the kind of information that just really needs to be meditated on. I spend a good bit of time in thought and meditation while I'm doing other things. I know that comes as a surprise to some folks that I can do two things at once, but I do spend a lot of time thinking about things like this, and particularly certain Bible passages that I've got in my mind. I think it would be hard to find one that's any more helpful, at least to me, than this one. And I'd like for us to look at it tonight in this discussion. We're going to see this passage in light of about three things or three sets of things that are contrasted with one another. Paul says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are unseen are eternal." I think there's an important point to be noted with that first phrase when he says, "For this cause we faint not." The same exact wording is used in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." The word "faint" there means to become discouraged. It means to lose our desire because of what we're up against. And so Paul says, "We faint not. For this cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." There's the first contrast, the first set of terms that Paul gives reference to, we've all got this outward decaying man, this physical existence that we have. And we understand that the older we get, the worse things are. In fact, I'm told, I've read, and I suppose I've lived it out in my life as you have, that from the moment that you're born, you begin to die. There is that time of growth and maturity and development of the physical body, but actually, you know, we're born to live on this earth and die. And almost from the beginning, it seems, things are going downhill. And the older you get, you know, the steeper the hill gets, and the faster it seems like you're going downhill. I don't mean to be so negative, and some of you who are older are looking at me kind of sharp right now. I'm not getting carried away with this, but the fact is, our physical bodies are decaying. Our outward man is decaying, some versions say perishing. We're not designed to last forever. We're not permanent here on this earth. There is something waiting that is beyond this. There is something that's more important than this. And we're here to prepare ourselves to be able to go there. Because that far exceeds this. If only we could convince people that that's really the truth, because so many people live for the here and the now. They live in the present. They live in the physical sense as though there is no spiritual sense. But make no mistake about it, this outer man, this outward, this physical man is perishing. But Paul said there's another side to all of us, and that's that inner man. And while the outer man is dying all of the time, he says the inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, I understand that there is a renewal process that takes place when one obeys the gospel. Otherwise, you couldn't come up out of the water as a new creature. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, we find a reference to the renewal according to knowledge. And in Titus 3, verse 5, Paul uses that term renewed again. And he talks about the Holy Spirit's role in renewing us when we obey the gospel, when we become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's the situation. That's the status when we come up out of the watery grave of baptism as new creatures. But here, Paul adds another little element to this. He says, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now that seems to indicate an ongoing process. It seems like, dare I say, the longer you're a Christian, the stronger you're a Christian, the more you live for God, the greater you live for God. And while the outer man is dying, while this fleshly body is growing older and getting ready to pass away, this inner man, the inside part, the spiritual part, is being renewed day by day. Now I want to ask you something, quite honestly. Is that the way it is with you? I think it would be true to say that that can't happen without your consent. It's not something God's going to just do to you automatically without you having any involvement. This renewal of the inner man. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll notice he gives us some indications in those two verses that there is something that I have to do in order for this process to work. Present your bodies, living sacrifices. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So I want to ask all of us again, is that what's going on in you? I know for sure that the first part is happening to all of us. We're all dying. We're all decaying. We're all getting older. We're all getting closer to that time when we'll leave this life. But now what about that second part? Is that what's really happening in your life? If not, I say this as kindly as I know how. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not your husband's fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your mama or your daddy or your children. It's our own personal relationship with God that produces the growth and the maturity and the development of a child of God, in the life of a child of God, so that as long as we live as a Christian, and of course as long as we have our sufficient mental capacity, we should be being renewed day by day. The older we get, the stronger we ought to get as Christians. And quite frankly, let me be honest with you, we need all of that strength that we can muster up. We need everything. We're going to need all of those forces, all of those reserves. Because you see, as we get older, and some of you can testify to this, as we get older, we're not able to go through some of the motions that we used to go through as younger people. As we get older, we may not be able to assemble and attend as regularly as we'd like to. I've had more than one tell me, up in years, say, oh, it just hurts me so bad to not be in good enough physical condition to go to church. You know, I think part of God's plan in this day-by-day renewal and strengthening is to help us be equipped to face some of the challenges that we're going to have to face as we get older. May I be blunt? Some of us who are younger, the way we're going right now, we're not going to have anything to run on in another few years. Let me encourage all of us to do everything that we can to make sure that that day-by-day renewal process continues to work. And so there's the first contrast. The outer man versus the inner man. The outer man's dying. The inner man's growing to live. As we go further, Paul gives us another set of terms. He talks about this momentary light affliction. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This momentary light affliction, this light affliction which is but for a moment. You remember who's writing this? The Apostle Paul. If you need a refresher course on what all Paul had gone through, flip over a few pages in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't turn over there and read it now. Listen to what I'm saying. But it'll bring you up to speed on the way Paul had lived his life almost from the moment, within a few days anyway, of when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and became a Christian. From that day forward, he was persecuted. He was hunted. He was hounded. He was opposed. You can read what all he went through. And he says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, describing what all he had gone through in his life, our light affliction, The word affliction there is real. It's not a term that's put in there by mistake. But Paul says, it's light. He says, and besides that, it's just for a moment. By this time in Paul's life, how long had he been suffering as a Christian? 20, 30, 40 years? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, on the other side, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The word glory there in that verse is the same word that we find used so often in the New Testament. It's one of those words that, well, we kind of know what it means, but we kind of can't put it into words. There are several terms in the Bible like that. It is the same word that Paul uses when he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This eternal weight of glory, these momentary light afflictions are working for us an eternal weight of glory. The word weight there is just what it sounds like. It indicates a burden, something heavy. It's terminology that Paul is using to give the to convey the idea of how big the glory is as opposed to how light the afflictions are. Somebody says, you're not making sense here. Of all the hard times I've had in my life and as much as Paul suffered, you know, to describe our what we go through in this life as light. We're not trying to minimize the realities of our lives, but Paul, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, is trying to drive the point home that there are not words that properly describe the extent of the glory that we'll receive in heaven. Glory. Fulfillment. Joy. Happiness. Blessing. Like we cannot receive anywhere else. The far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then the third set of terms. The things which are seen versus the things which are unseen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I have a hard time sometimes just keeping up with what I can see. Does that mean I'm supposed to worry about the things that I can't see and constantly be looking over? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about focusing on earthly things to the detriment of our spiritual growth instead of focusing on spiritual things. The things that are seen are temporal, physical, earthly, temporary, coming to an end. The things that are unseen are the eternal things, the heavenly things, the spiritual things. It's a contrast, exactly like Jesus laid out in the verse we looked at this morning from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, actually, where he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Earthly treasures versus heavenly treasures. That which is seen, that which is unseen, that which is temporal, that which is eternal. Looking not at the things which are seen, but looking at the things which are unseen. So much of our lives we're going to be successful as Christians depends upon our focus. What are we focused on? Are we focused on those things that we can have and see and touch and hear? We've got to deal with those things. I'm not saying that they're not real. But if we put all of our focus on those things, there's not any part of us left to focus on those spiritual things. You know, there's a song that we have sung, I think, on rare occasions. And the songwriter captures a perfect summary of this passage, and I want to read these words to you in closing. The sands have been washed in the footprints of the stranger on Galilee's shore, and the voice that subdued the rough billows will be heard in Judea no more. But the path of that lone Galilean will I joyfully follow today. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. There are so many hills to climb upward, and I often am longing for rest, but the Lord who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best. I know in His Word He has promised that my strength, it shall be as my day. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. When the last feeble step has been taken and the gates of that city appear, the beautiful songs of the angels float out on my listening ear, when all that now seems so mysterious will be bright and clear as the day, and the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. Are you living for right now? Or are you living for over there? If you're not a child of God at this moment, you're living for the wrong thing. Let me urge you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and spend the rest of your life in His service. And as the song says, when you get to the end of the way, you may look back and you'll say, that was nothing. If you are a child of God but have become unfaithful in His service, why not be restored? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.